Well, tonight I'm going to be sharing on that topic of mercy, but God bless you all. Thanks for joining in tonight. Vicki and I went to the Oklahoma State Fair yesterday. It was quite boiling hot. We did last for 3 hours or so, and it was great just to get out and mingle with some folks and, you know, taste some good food. Oh, any of you who have been to a fair knows that they always have unique food and drink there. One of the things I like to sample is lemonade, because every stand, it seems like, you go to has fresh-squeezed lemonade. But what I noticed was so interesting is they have a variety of sizes. They have small, of course, large. They have small, medium, large. They have extra large, and they have like a super extra large. And then they have a size called a tanker, which I was just so shocked. I mean, it was like, what the heck is that?
Half a gallon.
Yeah, half a gallon or whatever. But, you know, it just caused me to think a little bit more this afternoon about vessels. And so I've entitled this teaching tonight, Vessels of Mercy, because we're those carriers, we're those containers. You know, those drinks that I got for her and I were so big, I had to make two trips because I just couldn't manage getting food. I think we had like a foot-long corn dog. Oh, my gosh, so great. But these drinks were so large, I had to make two trips to take them. And that's a great example of a container or a vessel or something that holds, in this case, a particular type of fluid. But I thought, you know what, hey, we're carriers of the light of God. We're the carriers of God's nature into the world, and that's done by way or through the Spirit of God that's within us. And so God has a lot of attributes, and the one I really wanted to focus on tonight was the attribute of mercy. So you can take your Bibles, please, and go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, I'll be turning right along with you here. Exodus 34. And in verse 6, yeah, this is a really interesting record. You can read the context later. But Moses is in the mountain receiving the second set of commandments, because the first one came down, he got kind of ticked off at what the people were doing. Those ended up getting broken. So in verse 4 it says, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. God gave one of the characteristics of his nature, and it's mercy. We'll look at a couple other verses here. I'll take a trip over to Psalm 25. Remember how it said in Peter that we're partakers of the divine nature. We've got a part of who God is within us. And I think you'll begin to see as I go on here, and it's sometimes maybe a little bit of a rhetorical question, but should Christians be showing mercy as they walk in this life? And I think it's obvious the answer is yes. I thought earlier, you know, should Christians be showing kindness to each other? Well, yeah, they should be showing kindness to each other, and we should be showing kindness everywhere we go. Someone once said that love is the badge of Christianity. And when you squeeze a quick Christian, what comes out? Love. And so this is kind of where I want to go in the sharing tonight, just to see the characteristic of who God is, and that we then are those containers, so to speak, those vessels to carry forward that attribute amongst others into the world. Because our world just so desperately needs this type of compassion and this type of thinking. So we're in Psalm 25. Gosh, there's so many here. Verse 6, let's start there. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And so that lends itself to maybe the next question. You can turn to Psalm 86. That's the next section we'll be going to. You know, this subject is deep, and the word appears many hundreds of times in the Bible. But I think if we can extract some sort of simple thought process through this short sharing that we can take with us from tonight out into our daily life, but also to recognize what that mercy is to each and every one of us. You see that the aim of the scriptures is to produce a certain kind of person, not to provide an exhaustive list of rules for every given situation. The aim of the scripture is to produce a certain type of person, a certain character within an individual. And that nature and that character is born within us at the time of the new birth. And then as we allow it to be watered and fertilized and exposed to the, let's say, the light of God and the light of God's word, we blossom. We blossom. And it's not about rules and regulations anymore. Like Warren said last night, we continually say it, you've said it, it's about the relationship. It's about the relationship. Psalm 86:15.
86.
Psalm 86:15 says, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous, plenteous in mercy and truth. I love these descriptions of some of the attributes of God. But this one in particular says, You're plenteous in mercy and truth. And just for the sake of remembering, you know, we've talked about what grace is and what mercy is, but again, I'd like to bring that up, that grace has been defined as receiving something we don't deserve, which obviously is divine favor, and mercy is not receiving something we do deserve. You see, just because of the fact that Adam came in here and we ended up, the spirit nature was gone, every person has been born since that point in time has inherited the sin nature. And as a result, judgment was placed basically upon the human race until Jesus Christ came and redeemed man and broke the curse of the law and enabled human beings to receive the Spirit. It's really, really awesome. You know, mercy is just such a great but maybe undervalued topic sometimes. And so I thought it'd be really cool just to take a look at some of the verses here tonight. Go over to Psalm 89, not too far away. Psalm 89. And I think it's important for us to understand that mercy is extending to someone this grace and kindness, compassion, long-suffering, and forgiveness, even when it's within our power to bring punishment. And you think about practical examples of how, you know, we're walking in daily life, whether it be from fellow believers or people out in the world. I mean, we can extend mercy in a variety of situations. And one of the great situations we apply it in is towards ourselves, so that we don't become hard on ourselves, that we understand God loves us, He cares for us, He's through Jesus Christ, He looks at us just like He looked at Jesus. And that if we find ourselves judging ourselves, good to maybe realize, like in Romans 8:1, that there is therefore now no condemnation. You know, that word means judgment. You're not in a place where you're judging yourself because of your behavior, your sins, or anything else. And that's why it's good to be really reminded of the simplicity that even though we do deserve it, God withholds that merited judgment. And He does it because of what Jesus did for us and now in us. So Psalm 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And there's a very famous section in Lamentations 22 that I think you're all familiar with. We sing songs about it. Great is thy faithfulness, right?
What is it?
Lamentations 3, verse 22. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's... Yeah, it's interesting in verse 21. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Mm-hmm. Have I hope? "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness." Isn't that interesting how he says, "I recall this to my mind, and therefore I have hope. I have expectation. Every morning's new. The mercies of God are new. We can cast off the old and put on the new and walk forward, not judging ourselves," which is, I think, a really important thing, but also utilizing that mercy kind of in the vertical way to then share the nature of God and walking in mercy and compassion with those that we come in contact with. Now, let's flip over to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2, many of you probably know exactly where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to read these verses. So great. We're going to start in verse, we should just start in verse 1. "And you have He quickened, and who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And then verse 4 says something.
But God.
But God. And that "but" puts in contrast that which has previously been stated. Yes, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, we were following all the worldly traditions and commandments and all this other stuff. But you know what? We got born again. We received Jesus. We got the new nature. And it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Mercy. He, God, is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. "For even when we were dead in sins, He quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Verse 7, that In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know, we kind of get this idea that God is up there with a club, and he's waiting, or he's going to play back a video of our lives of all the different things and checking off where we're good, and, you know, kind of like the Santa Claus, you know, we get the gifts if we've been good, and if we don't get them. That's not our God. Our God is rich and full of mercy and grace and truth and compassion and love and long-suffering. And that's what we have to understand. And maybe, you know, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians even, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what the hope of their calling. And, you know, this mercy is just a fundamental and foundational truth, but yet it is so critical in our day-by-day walk. Tariq, go to Hebrews chapter 4. And this will be our final verse. I just want to leave you with this verse. I have always just found it so fascinating. And in verse 14 it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or confession. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now this verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." You know, sometimes we do things, we think things, we say things, where probably in our own minds, we deserve judgment. People say things to us, do things to us, where we think they need judgment. They need things spoken back to them. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. But you know what? When we have that nature of God within us, then we can evidence and manifest and show forth and live out that quality of withholding even merited judgment and punishment that somebody may willingly deserve. And so we're in such a great place to really have a positive effect in the situations and circumstances that we're involved in. And so remember that as we close out here, that the aim of Scripture is to produce a certain kind of person, not to provide an exhaustive list of rules and regulations for every situation. If you look in the Gospels, every time Jesus spoke of mercy and used examples of mercy, it was always in light of a quality of a person's heart in their desire to express kindness to, like, the man who was all beaten up on the road to Samaria. He compared the Pharisees to the other folks and, you know, made that great comparison. And so it's an important thing for all of us to be carriers of the nature of God, to have those containers. We'll get the tankers. We'll get the biggest ones possible. And we'll be filled to overflowing, right? Mm-hmm. And as we walk out this thing, we remember the beauty of what we've really been given and what we've been blessed with in God's grace and mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, only you can really reveal to us the truth of who you are, and I pray in our each of us, in our individual lives and in our walk, Father, you'll help us to not be hard on ourselves, to look at ourselves with your mercy and understand what you've done for us, and we can certainly do that for ourselves and for one another. We thank you, Lord, that as we continue down this path of growth and enlightenment of the Scriptures, that you want to just continue to work with us, and as we're sensitive to these situations, Father, that are in front of us, we'll have the wisdom and the wherewithal to do whatever it is you're instructing us to do in that moment. We pray for God's people on the call. We pray for needs that are within the body of Christ that we may or may not know about. Father, you're so magnificent and able to minister to your people. And I know we live in a culture and a society that we would certainly consider dark and corrupt, which it is. But I thank you that we shine as lights in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.